The Legends Radio Network now presents Lyrics and Legends with your host, Gary Webb.
Well, the program's Lyrics and Legends. Buck Weatherby's in the studio with me. How you doing, Buck?
Hey. I am glad to be here.
My co-host. You got a new look for all of our listeners there. I don't recognize the spectacles. So.
You don't?
No.
Well, I'm kind of like a woman is with her shoes. I've got about four pair of glasses.
Hey, man, I was... So let me tell you what I was doing. I was going through music. We kind of go through our library and delete stuff or add stuff or whatever. And so I was over here going through the music, and I came across some stuff we've been playing a while. And I thought, man, I need to call this guy and see if he'll do an interview. And so I looked him up on the Facebook thing and sent him a text. And sure enough, he answered me back, and we have on the phone with us out of Denison, Texas, I believe, Ed Burleson.
And, not to be confused with Ed Burleson from Burleson.
From Burleson. unless I got the wrong Ed. Ed, how are you?
I'm doing good. How y'all doing?
Man, we are great. We one of the cuts we have that you do is Dead Skunk, and so
yeah,
which we're going to play in this program. But we're going to visit with you a little bit first, but.
Oh, who's the Ed Burleson from Burleson?
I was just pulling your chain.
Burleson, Texas would be my great uncle. It was Rufus Burleson. Yeah. The town was named after him, and he also was one of the five founders of Baylor University.
Oh, wow.
Well, see.
He's a preacher. He baptized Sam Houston.
Wow. No wonder you can afford to be a musician.
I don't have no money. Definitely not now with all this COVID nonsense.
Ed, we're going to start here and kind of peel back a layer or two and find out. This might be like the laughing times of Ed Burleson on Lyrics and Legends. What do you think, Buck?
I think that's good. Question, can I have the first
you
question?
You can. Let her rip.
Everything I read about you, they've all, your headline says Ed Burleson, a baby-faced sixth-generation Burleson. They even go back to talk about one of your ancestors. I guess your great-great-great-grandfather was the vice president of the Republic of Texas. Is that right?
Yes, sir. He was a crazy man. He was, sometimes, now y'all are down there in the panhandles, so I'm probably okay, but he was known as the great Indian killer. He cleaned them out.
Wow.
For the settlers, and he was he fought in the brush wars with his father. He's a military man. He was an interesting fella.
Now, who hung this baby faced moniker on you?
I get that from my mama. I don't even look like a Burleson. I'm a spitting image of my mother. Most Burlesons are like 6 foot or more, and I'm about 5'9", 5'10". So
yeah, with a baby face,
with chubby cheeks.
Yeah.
So I wonder if your great grandpappy ever got up to the panhandle to fight any Indians or anything.
He's everywhere. He was all over the place. Started in North Carolina. His way this way.
Okay. So we can get a little perspective on you. I don't ask this to women, but how old are you?
I'm 51.
51, okay. So born about 69. When did you first get interested in music?
My dad, my mother, and my father are both musicians. So I've been around music my whole life. And really and truly, I never thought that I would be doing it, performing the way I do. I always played guitar and wrote songs. I mean, I can't remember a time that I didn't write songs. I'd write them on the school bus when I was, making fun of teachers or bus drivers or whatever. Yeah. I was always kind of a songwriter, and I was rodeoing, and I just filled my permit, which I don't riding pro, and that's like the way you get to go to the really big shows. You got to fill your permit first. So anyway, I filled it, and then I was riding over at Northside in Fort Worth, and I got hung up for like over 10 minutes, and I tore my knee all up by getting stepped on.
Well, now, what were you riding?
On that night, I was riding bareback horse.
Okay.
But anyway, that put me out for 9 months. So all of a sudden I started taking, you know, well, there's this place that I used to ride a Mesquite a lot, you know, just because it was close to home and it was easy to fill, you know, easier to fill your permit. So I rode there a bunch. But I found in a newspaper this place called the Country Music Conservation Hall. I said, that's got to be an interesting place. So me and a buddy of mine drove out there, and it was like you walk in the doors, it was like you went into the 50s. I mean, it was like an old 50s honky-tonk. And the pictures on the wall, everything about it was unbelievable. And I met Ray Wiley Hubbard and Big Grooms that used to own the old Longhorn Ballroom down the street. It was Industrial Boulevard in Dallas.
Right.
And it was like just like going back in time. Anyway, I started hanging out there, and then one night they had a Young Guns songwriter showcase, and it was me and Max Stalin. None of us had ever been played in front of anybody, really. I mean, I played behind rodeo arenas and on tailgates, but I hadn't really gotten in front of a crowd. But anyway, I remember me and Max Stalin sitting on the back porch of this place. Well, at this time, they had changed the name. It was Three Teardrops Tavern. So we were sitting in the back of it, and I remember Max looking at me and going, have you ever done this before? I said, no, I've never done anything like this before. He goes, me neither. He said, I hope you go first. I said, I hope you go first. Well, it ended up he went first, and then after he played his songs, I didn't even want to sing mine. I said, mine aren't as good as his.
But oh, man, Max, totally yeah, different. He's a talented guy. I bet that was something else to go on after him.
But the difference is mine are 4/4 shovels and, you know, more honky-tonk. So when I got up, everybody started dancing and, you know, I ended up playing there every Thursday night. He offered me a job, and that's where it all started.
And I think that's what caught my attention on your music is that honky-tonk feel that most of it has that you include. And the first one of the songs I picked here was a song called Honky Tonk Heart. Talk about that a little bit, and we might play it and let our listeners get a little feel for Ed Burleson's music.
Well, Clay Blaker produced my first two albums, so I always made sure I put Clay Blaker stuff on my albums. And that was one of his that I really liked as a kid. I had a 45 with Honky Tonk Heart on one side and then Heartbreak Highway on the other.
And all right. Well, hey, let's...
I always thanked him by putting one of his songs on my album, so...
All right. Well, let's listen to this.
Actually, was going to Texas and Honky Tonk Heart was 45.
Okay, let's listen to this, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about that a little bit more. We're going to listen to Honky Tonk Heart. This is Ed Burleson. We'll
the
be back.
One and
the
only.
The one
Ed
and only,
Burleson.
Or the fourth or fifth. I don't know. Some,
six.
Six.
I'm the fourth. My son's the fifth.
Okay. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Talk hard and a hillbilly soul gets me in trouble everywhere I go. Winding me up, running me around, drunk and crazy, and I'm all over town. It ain't my fault, all the things I do. Something inside keeps telling me to. Can't ease up or take it slow in my honky tonk heart and my hillbilly soul. Some of my first memories were in a dance hall. On my daddy's lap, listening to the band. I can still remember the songs they played there. Tall, cold, hard, hey, good looking, and a honky tonk man. I got a honky tonk heart and a hillbilly soul. Gets me in trouble everywhere. Telling me to, can't ease up or take it slow in my honky tonk heart and my hillbilly soul. Son. I can't be tamed. I'm true to myself, cause what's on the inside's never gonna change. I got a honky tonk heart and a hillbilly soul. Gets me in trouble everywhere I go. Winding me up, running me around, drunk and crazy, and I'm all over town. It ain't my fault, all the things I do. Something inside keeps telling me to. Can't ease up or take it slow. In my honky tonk heart and my hillbilly soul. Can't ease up or take it slow. In my honky tonk heart and my hillbilly soul.
The program's Lyrics and Legends on the phone with us from Denison, Texas, I think. Is that right, Ed?
Yes, that's where I live.
Okay. Ed Burleson from Denison, Texas, in the studio with me. My co-host, Buck Weatherby's in here with me, and we're having a fun time. That song we just listened to was Honky Tonk Heart. Talk again about...
That was a good one, by the way.
Yeah, talk
like
again
that.
About who wrote that and maybe your relationship with him.
So. Clay Blaker. Once again, it goes right back to Teardrop. I first met him at the Three Teardrops, which was the Country Music Conservation Hall when I first found it. But I met him there and got to be real good friends with him. I mean, he's written tons of songs for George Strait and stuff. But when I finally had enough money to, you know, do an album, I asked him to produce it. And we did it in his studio over at Cherry Ridge in Floresville, Texas. And we brought in everything. We had Doug Somm, Alvin Crow, Bill Kirchen, you know, from the Lost Planet Airman.
Right.
I mean, the entire band was famous for something or another, and as a kid I'm like, wow, what in the heck's going on? But
so, yeah, well, I bet that was a really great time to meet Doug Somm, huh? Back
yeah,
now what
yeah, well,
what
yeah,
year
no,
is what
I went to see,
what
went
year
to
are we
Alvin
talking
Crow.
About
that'd be probably 96 95 okay. Right around there. But I went to see Alvin Crow at the Broken Spoke in Austin, and there's a little old fella over there playing still, called himself Wayne Douglas, which I knew who he was, but that was his alias, Wayne Douglas.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
when it wasn't his show, he was Wayne Douglas, the field player.
Yeah, if people aren't familiar with him, they ought to go back and look at some of those Austin City Limit shows back when Doug was on there. Man, that's that is vintage Texas country.
Now, that first band that you put together, wasn't your dad playing drums with you on that band?
My dad still plays drums with me.
Okay.
He's kind of under the weather right now, but that's a whole nother story. But yeah, I've never had another drummer besides my dad.
I'll be darned.
And he's 81, about to be 82.
Nothing wrong with that.
Going back to the Doug thing, I went to see Alvin and I met Doug. He came to my table and I had this finished album, but I didn't really know what to do with it. It kind of fell in my lap, and I didn't know anything about the music business. But I gave Doug a copy of it. I'll be darned if he didn't call me like a couple of days after I met him and said he loved it. He said, I'm going to come see you. And he drove from Austin. At that time, I was living in Louisville. And sure enough, about a day or two after that, he showed up at my door. I got the Texas tornado.
Oh, wow.
Sitting in my single-wide mobile home in the middle of nowhere. But either way, he took me under his wing. He got me a riding deal with Warner Brothers, and he really got me out there. He was a good man, and you know, and then he died in 99. So
right now,
my album release party was his very last show ever.
Oh wow, that's something. We probably want to do another song here pretty quick. And I've got several I wrote down, but is there anything that you want us to do or?
What about since we just talked about Doug Somm, why don't we do Dream World? Do you have that?
We can get it. I don't have it on my list, but...
I'm just saying that's one we wrote together.
Yeah, that'd be good. We'll listen to Dream World, and then we'll be back in a few minutes with Ed Burleson.
I live in a dream world. She lives in a nightmare. he's painting the town. My dreams are filled with her. Her heart is cold as ice. She traded in my love and took fixes her hair. Don't know where she's going, but it sure got me down. I live in a dream world while she's painting the town.
The program's Lyrics and Legends, and chasing down another good one, Buck.
Oh, man.
I tell you, see,
this guy has some interesting stories.
Yeah.
Interesting stories.
See, the music, too, is what caught me, because it's got the real Texas honky-tonk feel. And so Ed Burleson on the phone with us. Ed, a lot of what we play, about 99% of what we play, are the older. Yeah, Jim says dead people, but... It's traditional country music that they don't really make a lot of in Nashville or wherever, but we fall onto stuff like yours, and I'll be driving down the road, and I'll hear a song maybe on some radio station downstate or whatever, and I'll make a note, and we get back up here and put it on, or I'll be looking on YouTube or wherever and find this stuff. And so we came across you somewhere, and I don't have a clue, but we've got three or four of your cuts that we play. So I hope ASCAP or somebody's sending you a big check every month off.
Well, they're not what they used to be, but you know, I still get them anyhow.
So we were talking a little bit about that last song that you just did. You co-wrote with Doug Somm. And how did that work when you were – did he approach you on wanting to write, or is that just something that just kind of happened? Or
The very first time we wrote together was we he came out with me to Larry Joe Taylor Festival, and he had a cabin, and the whole place was crazy. You know how Larry Joe Taylor stuff is. But Doug Thompson said, "Let's get out of all this mayhem and let's go back here and write." I said, "All right." So we went back behind his cabin, and we wrote Dream World together that day, and then we wrote some other stuff. But I think that's the only one I recorded.
All right. I see when I told Buck we were going to interview you, he did a little homework, and I think he's got a song that he really likes, so he may want to visit with you about this a little bit.
Yeah, tell the story about, and one of my favorites of yours is No Closing Time.
Well, that's an interesting one. I wrote it on a jackhammer. I was on a job site busting up a driveway. And you spend hours and hours sitting there on a jackhammer. Mm-hmm. You just kind of live in your head. And I swear I hadn't even written one single word on a piece of paper. That entire song was in my head by the time I quit the job.
Oh, I love that song. You might be in the Guinness Book of Records for the only songwriter to ever write a song on a jackhammer.
And then my mother's an old English teacher. She goes, "That's a double negative." Well,
it is. So give me the name of the song one more time.
No Closing Time.
No Closing Time. All
yeah,
right.
That's a great song.
You think we ought to listen to that?
I don't want no.
I don't want no. Yeah, I can see how Mom wouldn't like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want no closing time. Did I do that right?
That really means you want. Right?
Oh, okay. I don't want no closing time. All right.
Yeah.
Let's listen to this. We're going to come back and visit with Ed Burleson.
I don't want no closing time. I still want to wine and dine and walk across that old lane floor with you. You're my lover and my friend, and I don't want this night to end. Although I know, sweetheart, it's close. you, babe, will never die. I don't want no closing time. I still want a wine and dine and walk across that old ninth floor with you. You're my lover and my friend, and I don't want this night to end. Although I know, sweetheart, it's closing time again.
Programs, lyrics, and legends, Buckwheat. I don't know. Are we going to keep be able to keep this one on the track?
I think so. All right. I'll behave.
All right.
I'll
Ed,
behave.
I hope we're doing all right for you, sir.
I'm with y'all. Just tell me if I messed up.
Oh, we're doing good. So you kind of really probably got started in the mid-90s, 96 or so, doing music. And
No, I was about 92.
About 92,
that's
okay.
That's when I tore my knee up. And it was a slow start. Well, I say it's a slow start. It really went pretty fast compared to most folks. I went from playing, I guess I was playing the Three Teardrops for about maybe 3 months. Next thing I know, a bunch of people put money together and I recorded, and you can't find it, but I need to reprint it. I have a copy of it, but my very first album was Live at the Three Teardrops, and it's not very good at all, but it's I had a Junior Knight, which is an unbelievable steel player on it, which is great, but it's pretty much thrown together because I had no idea what I was doing.
Gary, did you notice that when Ed said it wasn't very good at all, he paused waiting for you and I to say, oh, we thought that was pretty good. Yeah,
except I've never heard it before.
I doubt you've ever heard a song on it. It's just really rare. I need to put it back out because people ask me, even though it's not a very good recording and all that, it was good in the way that Phil York, which did Redheaded Stranger, Willie Nelson, Sound in Your Mind. He did all the early David Allan Coe stuff. He's one heck of a producer and engineer. So I was real lucky there, too. But just overall, I didn't know how to do things yet.
So when you first got started, you were just kind of playing the Three Teardrops. And were you playing some other places there around?
Played Three Teardrops, and then I played Longhorn Saloon in Fort Worth, pretty regular. I traveled a lot though. In those days, I was going to Austin. You know, there wasn't a Texas music scene in those times, so you'd go into these other places and people get mad at you for singing, because you didn't know any top 40 music. You're trying to do your own thing. And there was just a handful of us doing it: me, Charlie Robinson, Jack Ingram, and then some. Really and truly, the majority of the songwriters stuff came out of Dallas, not Austin.
Right.
A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have guessed that if you would have asked me. I would have probably thought it would have been the other way around.
We'd have to do a longer show, but I got some funny stories of those days.
Tell us one.
Yeah, can you tell one on the radio?
All right. I'll tell you one of my favorite ones, and I'll shorten it the best I can. By the way, I played the Firehouse in Houston, which wasn't any. They are now. Now they do the whole Texas music thing, but back then they didn't know anything about it. So anyway, I played the job, and I used to play Blanco's in Houston. I don't know if y'all ever heard of that place, but the whole firehouse place was full of all the people that come to see me at Blanco's. Was a songwriter venue. Firehouse wasn't. Anyway, the whole place was full of people that I knew from Blanco's. So at the end of the night, getting my money, I went in, and the guy didn't want to pay me. So why not? And he goes, because you didn't play any songs that anybody knew. I said, everybody in there I know from another bar. Don't you have any regulars? Well, I said, come on, you just got to pay me. I live on the other side of Texas. So I've got to get home. And he goes, well, look how you're dressed. Because I just had a T-shirt. You know how everybody's dressing now. I was dressing before it was cool.
You were a trendsetter.
He goes, he said, do you think George Strait would come in here dressed like that? I said, I'm pretty sure George Strait ain't playing in here. And I was like, well, looky here. So just pay me my money. You never have to hire me again, but I have to get home. You got to pay me. So anyway, he gave me my money. Then he had a pretty little girl, probably 15 years younger than him, like a girlfriend, and I'm away out. Have you ever been to Dallas, darling, and winked at her? I did it. Anyway, I went home, and then Brad and James called me. Said, hey, man, I got a little gig over at the firehouse in Houston. You want to come do it with me? I said, well, sure I will. So the next weekend, I was there again.
Oh, my God. Did you dress up? Well, dress up right, or did you wear that T-shirt again?
Heck, no, I dress just the same way. Which most of the times I do. Most of the times I do dress. You know, I usually wear a starch shirt and stuff.
Did he pay you the second time without a fight?
No, it went through Davin. It was Davin James' gig. So
hilarious.
I just got paid like a hand that time. I wasn't the boss on that one.
That's a great story.
Very funny.
That is too funny. So growing up down there and being part of that music scene, man, I know you got to have a lot more really crazy stories about the metro area and Austin and Houston. Anything else?
Well, especially just traveling with Doug Song. What a character!
Now did Augie Myers play with Doug?
Oh yes, their entire lives.
Okay, because we've interviewed Augie. Man, you talk about someone fun to interview. Oh my gosh.
They played together since high school.
That's what I was thinking. And yeah, he was just a hoot. I mean, we couldn't hardly get a word in edgewise on Augie.
When the Tornadoes, the very last time they played the Austin City Limit, I was in the green room, and Flaco Jimenez is sitting next to me, and he's got a can of Budweiser, and it's frozen. You know how that ooze at the top when it's
right.
Frozen?
Oh, yeah.
And I said, Augie, there's one that's not frozen in that cooler over there. You want me to go get you one? And he goes, oh, no, this one is sick. It needs me. he was sipping beer off the top of it. it was fun being around all those guys back in the day.
Now, is Flaco still living?
Yeah, he's still alive. That's another thing of that night. He goes, why don't you ever hire me to play? And I said, well, I don't figure I can afford you. And he goes, how much you pay? I said, I don't know. Usually $200, $250 a man. I'll play for that. I never did hire him for anything, though. I should have.
Yeah.
That would have freaked some people out.
Oh, yeah.
So with Augie Myers on the squeeze box.
Oh, man. That would have been good.
What a character. But,
hey, we got to get another song in here, Buck. So I got stuff in mind. You got stuff in mind.
Yeah.
Here's the one, and it's not your song. It's just one we do on the radio just because I like it. How come you did Dead Skunk?
Well, that'd go back to my fiddle player back in the day. I had twin fiddles, you know, in the 90s.
Okay.
And but Heather, which is now married to Max, she played fiddle with me. And she had a son named Logan. He's a grown man now because time flies. But anyway, he used to always ask me to play that, and it was like my favorite song when I was seven. You know, it's a Loud and Wainwright the Third song, and then it got real big around Dallas Fort Worth in the mid '70s.
Oh yeah, it was big up here too.
But anyway, and that was recorded. That was engineered by Phil York as well.
So Dead Skunk, is that a Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, or who did that originally?
Loud and Wainwright the Third.
Okay.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And they did it in a house in South Oak Cliff. And it was Phil York was the only person that had a mobile recording unit And they said, hey, we got this song we want to record. So he drove his van over there with all of his equipment in it, and they recorded it in the house in South Oak Cliff. But anyway, that was when I was like 7 years old. I just thought that song was great. And every time I'd play it for Logan, he'd dance around and, you know, made him happy. I said, you know what? Somebody needs to bring that song back. So
you did a good job of it. Let's listen to it, and we'll be back with more Ed Burleson.
Loudon sent me a note telling me thank you for bringing it back. So that was pretty cool.
We're going to listen to.
Did you frame that note?
As much as I moved, I probably lost it. I had a really cool one from old Bill Mack, too, from y'all's area.
Oh, hey, we got to talk about Bill coming up here.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to listen to Dead Skunk in the Middle of the Road with Ed Burleson. We'll be back right after this.
Out on a highway late last night, you should have looked left, should have looked right. Didn't see the station wagon car, skunk got squashed in. They are, you got some dead.
Programs, Lyrics and Legends on the phone with us from Denison, Texas. Ed Burleson in the studio with me, Buck Weatherby. We're having fun listening
let me tell you.
Dead Skunk in the Middle of the Road. See, that goes back to my high school days.
Yeah, well, I remember that one, too.
All right.
I think I was out of high school, though.
It's a great story on how you came across that one.
I was in second grade. You boys are old.
Well, I'm about 10 years older than you are. So.
Yeah. Me and your daddy are in the same league, Ed.
Yeah. Buck was an old drummer, too. He is.
Well, my dad played anything he put in his hand. But drums are his passion. He plays drums. When we're in church and stuff, he plays piano a lot. And he can play trumpet. You pretty much anything he can play. My dad's like a child prodigy. I think that's why I got along with Doug Thumb so well, because they were a whole lot alike. They were just music minds, you know.
Right.
You didn't have to teach them theory. They already knew it. They were born with it. Music theory.
I said a little bit earlier in the interview, too, that one thing I liked about your music is it's got a real Texas feel, a real honky-tonk feel to it. It's not, you know, I don't know the right word. It's not maybe polished like a bunch of the Nashville stuff or whatever.
No, I never.
A lot of fiddles and a lot of the stuff steels and stuff we like. As a matter of fact, one quote from, these are some of the Billboard magazine quotes, and maybe Dallas Observer says that it's the purest sounding country I've heard in a long time, and it's too country for Nashville, but not for Texas. What do you think of that?
Well, that's why Willie left Nashville.
Right. Did you ever have any thoughts about going to Nashville and trying to make it out there, or do you just kind of...
Yeah, I've been out there. I mean, there really is, except for the industry part of it, there ain't a whole lot there. I mean, there's a lot of really, really good guitar pickers, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But I've been offered to play over at Tootsie's and all that stuff. I've went out there and played, but, nah, it's not my thing. Kind of a different world.
Right.
It's really not country anymore.
Yeah, it's really not country anymore. That's what Engineer and I have that conversation a lot. I don't mind that people enjoy it, and I don't mind that they make it. I just don't like it when they call it country.
their number one gal right now, which actually the last two number one gals. I backed Maren when she was a little girl.
Oh wow!
At all the music festivals. Yeah, I'm real close to her favorite, Maren Morse.
Right,
right.
And then I didn't back her, but I did a ton of shows with Miranda Lambert when she was young. When she was early teens.
Right.
But Maren, she was playing when she was like 10 or 11. She was getting up doing Janis Joplin stuff and things. And she didn't have a band, so I always backed her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we were talking about, off mic a while ago, we were talking about a good friend of all of ours by the name of Bill Mack. And, you know, Leanne Rimes, I think, was, 15 when she recorded Bill's song,
right.
Blue.
Yeah, you do know you're talking to the people in the hometown of Bill Mack up here at Shamrock, Texas, right?
Well, yeah, I didn't know y'all were out of Shamrock, but I knew that's where you were. I knew you were mighty close.
Yeah, we were right down two blocks from the Bill Mack plaza.
Had a rodeo buddy that went to college with me from there named, I don't know if you know any of the C family, Chris C. It was his name, bareback rider.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the name.
I know there's a lot of C's there is what I'm saying.
It's like spelled S-E-A-Y or something like that? Or
yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yeah, I'm familiar with the name. I don't know any of them, but I'm sure a lot of people that are going to be listening to this are going to be real familiar with them. So.
Yeah. I don't know if he's still living there, but if Chris C., you're out there, howdy.
I bet that's it. We probably want to get another song in here. We're going to have time for how many more here? Two, maybe three if I get pushy with my engineer. I really like that's kind of got a little Cajun flavor, and I was wanting to ask you about this because I noticed two or three of your songs kind of have a little Cajun flavor to them. The one I want to do is Big Mamu.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I got a little story behind that of why I did it.
All right,
That's an old song, but I got it from French Burke.
So did you?
I have a funny story about that too. Meeting him. Because me and Clay Blaker went to get his bus tuned up at the place right outside of New Braunfels. And the place where he got his bus worked on had a bunch of Frenchie Burke CDs sitting on the front, you know, at the front desk. I said, "Oh, Frenchie Burke." She goes, I grew up on Frenchie Burke. My dad used to plan the state fair because he played the state fair every year, you know, in the 70s, early 80s. But I told her that. I said, "Yeah. My dad was planning going to the state fair when Frenchie Burke was going to be there, so we'd see Frenchie." And she goes, "Well, you want to meet him?" I said, "Well, sure, I guess." And he came out of the back covered in grease. He's back there working on a deal. on a Detroit.
Are you kidding?
I said, oh, you there. Here he is. Hey, now, huh?
Oh, that's all right. Oh, well, hey, let's
listen. The music is last, you know.
Let's listen to Big Mamu, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Come on, Frenchie. Kick it nice. Big Mama,
Lyrics and Legends. We're going to get right back in here talking to Buck Weatherby on the phone with us from Denison, Texas, Ed Burleson.
Oh, man.
We're having a lot of fun.
This guy's got some stories, Gary.
The only thing missing here is we're having to do this over the phone instead of having him in the studio.
Oh, yeah.
I have a feeling if we had him in the studio here, we'd be here 3 or 4 hours. Buck.
It would be out of control.
Probably.
Sure.
So, the song we listened to was an old Frenchie Burke song, Big Mamu. And, well, that's a lot of fun. I was just kind of thinking, man, a couple of these I listened to, you had a little bit of a Cajun twist, and I didn't know if that was something that was just something you enjoyed doing or exactly where that came from.
So. On my end, I mean, it's been done by tons of people, but I got it from Frenchie Burke. But here's a funny story on that. It'll be a short one, too. But
You never told a short story in your life, Ed.
Anyway, we were doing South by Southwest. And they were doing one of the featured places was the Broken Spoke, and Joel Saunier went on before me, and Joel Saunier did it acoustic with just like a 4-piece thing, and I already had my set list made up, you know, because to do things like that you got to be, you know, have it all lined out before, you know, because you only have so much time. I don't do set lists very often, but there I had to do it. Well, my first song on my set list was Big Mamu with the dang 10-piece band. I felt terrible. I told him I was sorry. Yeah, he goes over and does it real slow and just with the guitars. And then I get up with twin fiddles, steel, twin tellies.
Yeah. It is.
But
good.
I'm sorry, Joey.
Yeah, that was a good one. So how has this last year affected you with the situation with the virus and everything?
I don't know. It's just, you know, I play around here, and then pretty much went down to just food venues mostly. There's really no dance halls or anything open around here.
Right.
But I know if I ain't worn, I haven't worn any masks or nothing, and I ain't caught nothing.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way.
Yeah, so
maybe I'm just immune. I don't know.
Tell us, where'd you meet Bill Mack?
Bill Mack, boy, I mean, that's like my entire life. My dad, like, followed him around. Even when, like, WBAP fired him as a kid, and then he went to the Denton Country Music Station. I don't remember the name of it, but he was everywhere. And me and my dad were always driving around going to rodeos. And he would do, like, he'd do things at gas stations. I can't tell you how many times I met Bill Mack. But the coolest thing he ever did, and no closing time. He was in a jewelry store that this guy that used to go to music festivals all the time owned, getting his ring fixed, and he played Texas music on the, you know, in his shop.
Right.
He said Bill Mack came in, he was getting a ring fixed, and he said no closing time was on the, you know, on his feet or whatever. I don't know what you call it. But he goes, and he said, Bill Mack said, who is that? He said, oh, it's a kid named, I was still young, but he said, it's a kid named Ed Burleson. And he wrote me a note, said, keep doing good country music.
Oh, that's
I loved
a compliment.
It, or something like that. Bill Mack, I know, what a cool thing.
You still have that note?
Did you frame
I'm
it?
I'm sure I got it somewhere. Hey, this is three wives ago.
That is one thing you and Buck have in common.
People ask me, they say, how many times you been married? And I say, I can still count them on one hand.
Yeah.
Hey, we got to do one
more
song here.
I won't ever have another. Third time's a charm for me. I found the right one.
Hey, do I get to pick this song?
Hey, wait. Yeah, we'll let you pick. You know, I read this, and I wanted to ask if it's right. Are they call your friends special eds?
That's a long time ago.
Oh, a long time ago.
I went and played Rocket over there by Waxahachie about, I don't know, right before fall time. And every one of them showed up. I hadn't seen them all together.
All the special eds.
But there were five guys, and they'd follow me to hell and back in the day.
Oh, wow.
They called themselves the special eds. They also followed Chris. They also followed Chris Wall everywhere. And when they were at a Chris Wall show, they called themselves Walnut.
We saw Chris with Jerry Jeff back in, I was going to say it was the late 80s in Amarillo. They did a little deal in the round up there. It was really good. It was just no band or anything. Chris came out and did several songs, then Jerry Jeff did. But it was really good because it was just the two of them. So.
He might have caused my first divorce. His Reckless Kelly got kicked out of their house. They're probably maybe they were all like in early 20s and probably partying too much, whatever. But Chris was backing them at the time, so they didn't have a house. So he gave them his house, and he moved, because really the music scene for the most part was in Dallas at that time. So he moved in with me in Louisville and stayed with me for 2 months. And I don't think we slept a lick. We watched old cowboy movies and drank beer and roast golf. My wife she hated us both. We had one of them big old we had one of them old wooden console TVs. We left it on so long the thing went out. It was back in the Montgomery Ward days.
Right.
And the Montgomery Ward car. Either way, me and Chris and my wife at the time. We went to Montgomery Ward and she's going, buy this one. This is a nice one. And Chris Wall's over there going, no, Ed, look at this one. 800 resolution. It's like a huge, gigantic, you know, it was before flat screen. Because this one has 800 resolution. I said, and we've both been drinking for days. And I said, I'm going with 800 resolution. Boy, she's mad at both of us. We went and took that big-ass TV and put it on top of the console and plugged it all in. Went back. We're done. I hate you both.
So she left.
Oh, man.
No, she left later.
Oh, okay. So
she stuck around a little bit longer.
All right, we're going to let Buck pick this last one.
All right. Now, this is a song you wrote, as I understand it. It's called Long Distance Love.
Yeah.
Now, did that turn into one of your wives?
Well, no, never a wife. somebody's wife. That would be that fiddle player I was talking about.
Well, tell me about this long-distance love song. How did that come about?
Anyway, it was me and Heather, and both went through divorce, and, you know, her, boy, this is a tough one. Her and her husband both played in my band, and then when they got divorced, he played my band, and then, but she wanted to play some music, so I said, well, let's go to, I had a girlfriend, but I said, let's go to Fort Worth, play some music. I ain't gonna hurt nothing. Get out and play your fiddle, because she was itching to play. So we did that, and then old her husband called and said, you took my ex-wife to Fort Worth. just to play music. I had my girlfriend with me. He goes, well, I quit. So he quit the band. So I called her and said, you want your job back? She said, yeah, I want my job back. So she came back and started playing with me again about 4 months into that.
Yeah.
Well, you know how that goes. Music. Yeah.
All right,
but
we're gonna.
Either way, we got sweet on each other. But she lived almost 3 hours away from me, so it didn't work out so hot.
All right, we won't listen to this.
So long distance love ain't worth a damn.
Long distance love, and we'll be back to wrap this up in just a few minutes.
About all the fun we had, and half being away from each other wasn't all that bad. But things got tougher each day, always being alone, and it's hard to love a woman on the telephone. And that long distance love, it ain't worth it. The truth is things don't always go the way they're planned. And that long distance love, it ain't worth a damn. And that long distance love, it ain't worth a damn. I wish I had you here right now, holding my lonely hand. Oh, we both
programs Lyrics and Legends on the phone with us, Ed Burleson. We had a fun time visiting with you, Ed. Thanks for letting us interview you. This interview is not going to even scratch the surface of Ed Burleson.
Well, might have to have part two.
May have to.
That's bad. We could have probably part 10 by the time. Send one. I'll tell you what, if I die tomorrow, I have no regrets because I had one heck of a ride, that's for sure.
All right, Ed, we got this segment of the program which wraps everything up that we call the Department of Shameless Plugs. So you can talk about anything you want to talk about, whether it's your dad or where people can find your music or three ex-wives or whatever. This is your...
No, I don't care about that.
Hey, we've talked enough about ex-wives.
All right, so you can plug people where to book you or where to find where you're playing or whatever, so take it away.
Well, just on the booking end of it is just pretty much Facebook like everybody else. Pretty much run everything through that now until that goes away. It does. But I guess the biggest plug I would say is my dad has prostate cancer and the bills are racking up, but we have a GoFundMe page and trying to raise money to keep his bills down the best we can. So if anybody's interested in helping out with that.
Yeah, what are the particulars on what they need to do on your Facebook?
Well, right now it's get out what's bad. They don't know if anything's spread yet or anything. But his next surgery is like $5,000. So that's not the overall, but the deductible or whatever you call it.
So people can probably look on your Facebook page and find out where, if they want to help out
yes,
on
sir.
That, just go to
yes, sir.
Ed Burleson on Facebook. Is it Ed Burleson Music or is it just...
Either one.
Okay, all right. Yeah, so anybody that wants to check that out.
That's my biggest thing right now is raising money for my dad, and I'm going to do some benefits, some live shows, bring in some other people. But my biggest worry is about my dad. He's been with me through thick and thin all these years, and I ain't never had to worry about nothing. He's the healthiest man I've ever met in my life, and all of a sudden, this hit. So,
all right. Well, everybody keep Ed's dad in your prayers. And hey, man, we want to thank you for taking time to visit with us. We always have fun when we do these. I knew when I listened to your music that this one was going to be a good one, and I think we filled the bill, don't you, Buck?
I think so.
So do you ever get up to the Panhandle?
I used to pretty regular, but I hadn't in a while.
If you get up to the Panhandle, you gotta check. You gotta look us up, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Hey, thanks, man.
Good talking to you, Ed.
Good talking to you too.
This has been another edition of Lyrics and Legends with Gary Ware. Join us next time on the Legends Radio Network.